Good morning, everyone. To God be the glory. Thank you, ladies, for that encouragement this morning. I'm having some trouble. I'm restrained by this contraption here. Kim, you may have to come up here and help me. I don't know. There, maybe I got it. Anyway, greetings to one and all in the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been disrupted a little bit, haven't we, here in the last weeks? But again, praise God. We've got a beautiful day that He's given us today. No hindrances, at least from the elements of getting here to gather for worship today. So I want to welcome you in His name. And let's begin today by singing some praises to Him. We're going to sing an older hymn here that has a powerful message. And I hope today that you're under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we need not fear or be concerned about what lies ahead, but trust Him fully for all things. Let's stand this morning if you're able. Number 45, or it's on the screen, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. An old classic hymn of the Christian faith still has a good place in our worship today. Here we go.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more.
Page 85, if you have a hymnal, or it's on the screen. Here we go.
Open now the crystal fountain.
Together. Our Father in heaven, we come again assembled as a local church humbly before your throne of grace and mercy this day. Lord, we remember from your word and the story of your operation and creation of mankind and operation with how you led your people. Lord, today we may be in a wilderness in many aspects of our life, of the history of our nation, other situations, and yet, Lord, just like you did your people when they came out of bondage there in Egypt, you led them with your fire during the night and your cloudy pillar during the day. Lord, you will never leave us or forsake us. I'm excited about that, Lord. I'm excited about the day that we live in today. I'm not negative because I know that you are a mighty God. And Lord, you're a God who is able to deliver and one who is able to land us safe. On Canaan's shores, the promised land, which is heaven. So I thank you today, Lord, for the turnout this morning, for those that were interested. And as always, Lord, we realize today there are people in the depths of discouragement. There are people struggling this morning in pain, Lord, from infirmities that have to do with the body. There are people today, Lord, that are in pain due to infirmities that have to do with the spirit. And Lord, I think of our community today. We thank you for Fruitland Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that you would not only sustain us, but that you would empower us and grow us to be a light in a dark world. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to praise and to serve you this day. Now, Lord, as always, may this time of worship be truly from our hearts. Lord, may we examine our lives even now as we begin this worship service, that the due that you are reverently entitled to would flow from our beings, Lord, today as we praise your name. And we ask, Lord, that we might be a blessing to you and that you would bless us with your presence today, Lord Jesus, as we work through this time of honoring you. Thank you now for this day. And Lord, may you be the center of all that comes and takes place from this point on. That's our prayer today in that most powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I have got to make an adjustment here because something is wrong today. This contraption on my head keeps wanting to fall off. So I won't be able to take my coat off today. So the preaching better not get too hot, right? And I've got to unbutton this. Kim, I think I'm going to need your help. I don't need it. Well, yes, I do, but I got it handled, I think. Anyway, if you take your bulletins this morning or take a look at the screen, we have some announcements. And again, welcome to one and all. It's been a while, so we're a little rusty. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing when we get out of the habit of coming together for worship. And that's why, again, the scriptures say, Kim, I am going to need your help, maybe. Tell you what, folks, sometimes we have problems with the technology. There's the problem, that button I thought was unbuttoned. Okay, for those that are listening on the internet this morning, this doesn't always happen like this. Sometimes it's worse. I just now got it, Kim. But it's the thought that counted. I did, beautiful. I always like to see you. Anyway. Now maybe we can get down to business here a little bit. The right-hand side of your bulletins, a few announcements, but yes, the Lord wants us to continue in a pattern of public gatherings with his people. And that's both an encouragement to us for one another, and that's one of the aspects of what he's given us the church for, that we can gather together and rejoice and weep, as the case may be, but prepare for heaven. And that's exactly what church is, dress rehearsal for heaven. And let me tell you, there's some good things yet to come. Anyway, tonight, Lord willing, I know some of you are thinking, what's going to happen tonight? Well, as far as we know, we'll have services unless it turns into some kind of a terrible event today with the prophesied snow. And we'll see what happens. But again, if there is a cancellation by 4 o'clock, you should know that. And you can always call if you're in doubt. And as I always say, use the gray matter that the Lord gave you to make your decisions on what to do. Anyway, tonight will be communion, and by the way, God expects us to do that. It's a direct command, again, to gather around the Lord's table and to celebrate the fellowship that was won through what he did on Calvary's cross. But the message tonight will be another message revolving around real church, and just a reminder on that, what real church is, what we're exploring is learning within the walls of this gathering place what we do to operate as the church outside of the walls. So tonight's topic will be some reminders of what real church is. Now, anyone that is of the male gender here, and I'll let you determine that, but next Saturday morning at All American Diner at 8 o'clock, we'll meet for breakfast if you'd like to. There will be a devotional, but it's just a time to fellowship a little bit. Maybe some of you have the winter blahs. I don't know, maybe you're tired of the cooking that you have at home. But anyway, if you'd like to gather, we've got some space assigned already for that. And it's Dutch treat, by the way, but come and join us at 8 o'clock out at the All-American Diner. And then if you are a member of Fruitland Baptist Church and you have received a ballot in the mail, you should have, because they were due to be handed out last Sunday. And so we made the decision to mail those. You should have received one. If you have not received one, you need to talk to Mrs. Wheeler back there in the back. And those are due in. She's our church secretary. And those are due to be turned in again on next Sunday by the end of the morning service. And the appropriate people, Barb Salzberger is one. Lonnie, do you have anyone else? Who would that be?
Deacons.
The deacons, yeah. And there will be another person on that committee, but you can turn your ballots into those folks. So if you have any questions, you can see me about that. Deacon trustee meeting March 1st at 6 o'clock. That will also be the night that the nominating committee meets at 7 p.m. If you have year-end reports that are due, again, Mrs. Wheeler is the go-to person on that by the 3rd of March. I'm not going to say what happens if they're not turned in by then, but I think Deb has some powerful ways of getting reports out of people. I don't know. I wouldn't want to mess with her myself. Anyway, you see my thoughts there for the week. If your life is dull, let Jesus sharpen it. Anything else we need to announce this morning? All right, then at this time, as of yet, we are not collecting an offering, and so the plates are in the back as God leads you to give. But we will take a little bit of time here this morning to meditate. We had a message or messages on that in the not too distant past. A little time to focus today on the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him. But at this time, I'm going to thank Him for this opportunity to give and that He would bless both the gift and giver. And then we'll just take a few moments as the ladies play here to think ahead a little bit about our walk with the Lord and what He has to give us here this morning as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You again for Your never-ending faithfulness. Lord, we know that we live in a world that is very erratic, but You are constant. You are the one that we can rely on fully. As we learned this morning in our junior, senior high Sunday school class, Lord, we really, when we're under Your care, when we've been saved and we become one of Your children, when we've been born again by the blood of the Lamb, we really have no reason to operate in a spirit of fear, but we have every reason to operate with confidence, trusting You. Lord, that's my main prayer this morning. You've done such a wondrous work in Your love for mankind of redemption when You went to that cross and bore our sins and bled and died. You were the perfect sacrifice for imperfect sinners, and You did it in our place, Lord, because You loved us. And then You rose again and guarantee us new life. These things are almost incomprehensible. And in fact, Lord, to those that are apart from You, they seem like things that are impossible. But You are the God of all possibilities. When the Spirit opens our eyes, we realize what a wonderful picture You've given to us. So, Lord, today as we contemplate or have given back to You, we pray, Lord, we'd understand that it's all Yours anyway. And it's just, Lord, it's another way that we prove out how much we love You with our heartfelt obedience to Your word about giving back a portion of that wonderful, wonderful gift that You've given to us for Your service. Now, Lord, direct our hearts toward You this morning. Help me again to bring this message. And we'll just anticipate, Lord, that You'll change us today in some way or another in this room this morning. We ask Your Spirit would be active, and we're here to give You all the praise and glory that You're due. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much, ladies, Autumn and Emma. Okay, very good.
Well, before we begin, we're going to be working together here to teach you all a new song to add to our repertoire. And the girls are going to help us out. This it's a newer song called Is He Worthy? And it has an echo with it, so we'll We'll sing it through one time by ourselves to present it to y'all, and then the second time through we'll have you join us. The words will be on the screen. And whenever we do this song, there always have to be someone leading it because there's a response to it. So there'll be a line sung, and then you will respond with the answer for the first two verses. And then after that, the remainder of the song is sung together as we sing the words in agreement. But before I do, I just wanted to read where this song comes from Scripture. It is in Revelation chapter 5. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a scroll written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the scroll, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of Judah, the tribe of David, hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Jesus together. What a great song, right from his own words in the scripture.
He is worthy.
Thank you, ladies. Very nice. That's one thing about it, folks. We never waste our time when it comes to worshiping the Lamb, right? Because indeed, just as we learned in that song, He is worthy. This is never a waste of time to come and give Him all the glory that He's due. He is worthy. And let me just assure you, those things that Autumn presented in that song from the book of Revelation, you know, the book of Revelation in the Greek is called the Apocalypso, which means the unveiling of Jesus Christ. He's going to come in His full glory, and He's going to show His dynamic conclusion of things regarding with earth beginning in that time. And we have some wonderful times that lie ahead of us, friends, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've had your sin paid for at the cross of Calvary and been redeemed by His blood. So, folks, we have many things to be excited about. I know we live in a culture that always needs to be looking forward. We need to be thinking about things in our flesh that come a week ahead, and we say, I'm looking forward to this day, so I'm going to keep on keeping on. I encourage us to all look forward to the day of Jesus Christ and the things that He has planned for us, because they are wonderful things. Well, greetings again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to everyone that's here this morning. We're glad for everyone. We're glad if you're visiting with us today. These doors are open for all people to come and hear. And hopefully in the messages that are brought forth from this pulpit, from the Bible, there will be opportunities to learn and to grow. And today is another requested message, and we've had quite a few of those lately, and I think the box is empty. The last time I checked, it's been quite full. As you know, we've had quite a few requested messages here in the later months. But for a short time at least, we're going to shut the door on the requests, and we're going to and I believe the Spirit leads through those too, but there's some things that the Spirit's led me that need to be preached about, so hopefully you'll give me free course to bring those messages here in the future, and I'm always excited to deliver God's Word, and I covet your prayers. It's never an easy thing to be responsible to handle this dynamite Word of God that we have before us. But today, we are going to be talking about, the title of our message is Thoughts on Fasting and Prayer. It was a requested message. This particular message, even though the card was anonymous, I know who requested it, but I'll not reveal that to you. But I pray that the needs will be met of this today that they had in mind. And with that, then, we're going to proceed. And but before we go another step further, we need to have prayer. So would you join me this morning as we pray for this message and for the Holy Spirit's work in its application to our lives. Father in heaven, we humbly come again before your throne today, acknowledging that you indeed are King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray today, Lord, that every person in this auditorium has considered that and that they can truthfully say that from their heart today, that they believe it. Lord, I am not naive enough to wonder about many things and many lives, Lord, because I know where I was at one time when I was young. Coming to hear preaching was kind of boring. Maybe today there's hearts here that say, let's just get this over with and get going. But I pray today, Lord, that the Spirit will cause people to listen. No matter what the topic is, whether it's something that interests you or not, if it comes from your Word, it's something that is going to be beneficial to us. And we will either leave here in one of two ways. We'll either have been changed and transformed by it, or we'll have rejected it and we'll reap the consequences. So, Lord, I pray for the hearts here today. I pray for one or more that may be here today that would acknowledge to you this morning, Lord, that they have never come humbly before you and understood and placed their sin at the foot of the cross and understood that you love them and came to save them through what you did there, Lord, and taking that penalty in our place on Calvary's cross and rising again to new life. I don't know what all the needs are here today, but I know this, Lord, that I am needy, and I know that you are an all-sufficient God, and I know that you will meet those needs. And I pray today, Lord, that we'll be students of the Word, that we'll be investigators, that we would even this morning be challenged by your Scriptures, the living Word of God. And of course, Lord, as I always do before I preach, you know the whole prayer, Lord. It's old John up here. He's needing your help again, Lord. He's not able to do it. But Lord, I know that through the power of your Spirit, I pray that at least it may not be said eloquently here today, but I pray that the word will be used and that it will be profitable, that it will not return unto you void. You know, Lord, the needs I have today as well, just like all the rest of us in this room. And we thank you that you are a meter of our needs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, this message was prepared to fulfill a request on fasting and the coming of Christ. Now, I have never had quite that same dynamic in a message before, but we'll try to cover that the best I can. We'll do the best we can with the time we have. If we don't get done, we may come back. And interestingly enough, you probably noticed already when we've had some of these cancellations and postponements, which I do not like, but yet I accept them, that God has a reason for all things, but we're backed up a little bit. And so some of the messages that are to be forthcoming and so forth are still in the pipeline. They're all laying on my desk. I would covet your input on that. I've got three or four down there on that desk that I need to know what to do with, when to preach them, because it doesn't fit with our model that we have set up. But you know what? That's the way it is. So someday you may come in here and hear some things that I call refrigerator messages, and they're leftovers. And one good thing about God's food, it never spoils. And you can pull that out of the refrigerator anytime. But we have some of those to preach. But I have some things that I believe that will be beneficial, again, to the cause of Christ that are in the works. And I covet your prayers at all times. So I don't know if the requester had this in mind, but one key passage on fasting from the book of Joel, and we will look into that a little bit later this morning, also surrounds the day of the Lord, which involves Christ's coming in the air, first of all, for his church. That's talked about. That's known as the harpazo, the catching up, the rapture. That word's never used in Scripture, but the Greek word harpazo is. But it also involves when he comes back to earth, and that is what's called the second coming, when his feet actually land on the Mount of Olives prior to the Battle of Armageddon, and he begins to culminate again, the put down of sin and at the end of the thousand-year reign called the millennium in finality, where sin will be put down and will be judged, Satan will be cast, and he and his demons into the lake of fire, and the believers in Christ Jesus will be afforded a new heavens and a new earth. Autumn, isn't it amazing how all this fits together? This was all supposed to, yeah, and we sang about that this morning. So there's some exciting things that are coming again very soon. He'll rule and reign for 1,000 years from his throne in Jerusalem. And the day of the Lord, to answer this quickly here this morning in totality, are the events of God's actions on earth and in heaven from the rapture or translation of the church to the establishment of the new heavens and new earth for all eternity. So that is fulfilled in what God tells us in Joel 3:17. We'll be in the book of Joel in just a few minutes. And so it's interesting here that the person that asked for this message gave a perfect open door and a perfect way that this all fit together today, even though that's one of the most unique requests I've had for those two dynamics today, the return of Christ and also fasting and prayer. Joel 3:17 is where that is found. And the point of it all is this, that all will know that I am. You know, God's always defined himself by the great I am. He's always existed. He is I am. You know, we even bear the image of Christ because when you introduce yourself to someone, you say, I am. Have you ever considered that before? I don't just walk up to someone and say, John. Well, I've been known to do some crazy things. You all know that. Kim and I were at a banquet yesterday. You know, when this corona thing is over, we need to get together and shake some hands and do some hugging. We haven't done that enough. But I have found, we were at a banquet yesterday up in Toledo, Iowa, and you know, people are very scared of each other. You agree with that? I found that, I always am the one that has to say who I am and ask who they are, because people are very reserved. Break down those barriers, though, folks. Let's love one another. That's what Christ wants us to do. Meet people. Enjoy the time that you have with them. You know, I find even though I know people today can be a challenge, and you've heard that old saying I've given you many times about the pastor's meetings. How are things at your congregation, brother? How's your flock? Well, pretty good if it wasn't for the people. But you know what? God wants us to be people-oriented people. And we need to say, I am. I am. And it reminds us of the Lord there. I am the Lord your God. And I'll tell you what, folks, when these events that Autumn and the girls sang about this morning that I've been feebly trying to talk about come to pass, there will not be one person that will not know who the I am is. And that's an exciting time, because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what's coming, folks. If you choose to reject him today, you'll end up in hell. But you know what? You'll still bow the knee, because he is, and he is going to display himself. He already has, but he will in a dynamic and mighty way. So in condensed form today, we will examine some points surrounding the subject now of fasting and prayer. Hopefully that answered in a short way the question about the coming of the Lord. So anyway, you have a sheet, don't you, today? And today, please, no critiques. Deb and I went over this 3 or 4 times. And as always, you know, like Harry Truman, if there's a problem with it, you come to me. I want to hear about, Kim, why are you looking at me funny? You've told me that before, haven't you? Yeah. But seriously, I hope it's beneficial to you. But don't be too critical. Sometimes we don't always get everything just as it should be. And hopefully you have a pen or a pencil to fix it if it was wrong, right? Amen. Okay. So the first point we want to look at about fasting and prayer are some definitions that are applicable to fasting. And actually, it's one definition with many little points. Some of this is textbook, some of it comes from John. So take it for what it's worth. It's ink and paper, right? So here's a definition. You know, I got to say this too. This message was supposed to have been preached last week. We are not a liturgical church at Fruitland Baptist Church. A liturgical church is a church that operates on an encyclical. In other words, over a period of 3 years, you'll hear a series of messages. You will never have to wonder what you're going to be preached at about in a liturgical church, because they go on a pattern. Well, folks, you know I don't fit many patterns. But we're a free church. We're here to preach what God lays on our hearts, as long as it's in the parameters of the Word of God. We're not here to preach the Reader's Digest. We're not here to read man-made things. We're here to preach the dynamic, all complete Word of God. But folks, what took place this last week? Now, come on. I'm seeing people wandering around with a black mark on their head. We are now in the liturgical season of Lent, which began with Ash Wednesday. Now, let me say, there's some basis for that. And I know this is going out live, so they'll be coming for me. But a good number of years ago, I was asked by the chaplain at Lutheran Homes to come up and preach on Lent. And I did. And I was never asked to preach again. There's nothing wrong with Lent, folks, but let me tell you, you don't go out on Shrove Tuesday and drink it up and live it up and eat it up to change gears the next day. Folks, Christ wants us to be coming into conformity with him every day. So that's what I preached up there. Lent is the season that should be when?
Every day.
And of course, we could talk about that as well. The culmination of Lent is Easter Sunday, which is not, Easter is found in the Bible, but folks, it's Resurrection Sunday. But that's what we celebrate, okay? But the liturgical year, again, is where Lent comes from. So folks, there are some things we can learn from Lent that are profitable, but they're due and they're in operation all times of the year. It's not just a certain time. We need to be in that mode. So let's learn about fasting a little bit this morning. Here's the definition. A denial of external interruptions. A denial of external interruptions for a clearer focus on God and His will. It may involve food or other necessities. By the way, it usually involves food, but it's not just restricted to that. Or other necessities or wants that we place ahead of God in our priorities, that are restrained purposely for a period of time. You've got it all there on your sheet. It is usually coupled with prayer. What is prayer? Thank you. I even gave you the answer on that, right? Prayer is a form of communication with God. You know, God hears our prayers, but he also answers our prayers. Amen. And, you know, he doesn't always say yes to everything. He's not a yes man. He is a one who tells us the way it is. Sometimes no, and sometimes wait. And so he always does answer. And it involves, at times, supplication, which is a petition of devout request in prayer, and a heart of contrition, meaning we're not the big shot in this, he is, of humility and introspection. It is often associated with critical spiritual or physical situations. Okay, so we'll look at that further, but there's a definition now, again, of fasting coupled with prayer. Now, you know I like the languages, and you can look in a lexicon or a concordance, and I'm not going to give, there's a few different variations of the word fasting found in the scriptures, but I'm going to give you the two most general ones that are found, okay? In the Old Testament, the common meaning that's most generally found in the Hebrew is the word tsum. Tsum, T-S-O-O-M. And that means to cover the mouth. So, that would lead you to what? Well, that's a good practice too, Matt. But the fact of the matter is, it does revolve many times around food. And why is food a big deal with us? Well, we may love it, but the Bible says we shouldn't love anything but God and one another. But we need it, don't we? Yeah, because how long can you go without food? Well, you could go a long time. You could go up to maybe 45 days, 2 months. But without drink, how long?
3 hours.
No more than about 3 days, and you begin to shut down. So remember that. Now, in the New Testament, in the Greek, it's the word nestauo. Nestauo. And there again, that means to abstain from food. So we're going to go to point two now and open your books, your Bibles, or your devices to Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 35. But to abstain from food, for an example. The Bible has a lot to say. We're going to quit on time. Someone keep an eye on the clock. I am. If we don't get done today, we'll accomplish it next time, Lord willing, when we're able. But Matthew chapter... Excuse me. Luke... Well, I'm incorrect. I have Luke written on my paper, and I know that that's where it is because I studied it. Luke chapter 5 this morning, verses 33 through 35. Luke chapter 5, 33 through 35. As always, don't take what I have to say here as the nth degree of what's in the Bible, because it's only a little thumbnail of it. Get into the Word, look up these words, dig into them, see what they mean, see what the context is around it. Never base one, you know, a premise on one verse of Scripture unless there are no other verses besides that to base it on. You get what I'm saying? Look through the Word. And you'll get the full dynamic. We cannot do that in this day that we're here in today or even next week, but we can look at a part of it. But hopefully your appetite is whetted to dig into the Word. So the second point here are some biblical parameters. So we're going to look at this, and it will help us to understand fasting. First thing before I say anything else, and I don't know if that's on our sheets or not, but fasting is voluntary. Did you hear me on that? You will not find a direct command in Scripture that tells us to fast, at least in the searching that I have done. And yet the Bible speaks a lot about it. It's an important thing and can be used to a great advantage in many situations, but it is voluntary. It is voluntary. Now, what would happen if it were commanded? Well, it would change the whole dynamic of it again. Because we resist the commands of God, don't we? By our very nature. But God has said, this is a supplemental way that you can seek me. But he does not force it, because you know what? God doesn't force anything on us, does he? He wants us, when we do choose to fast, to do it for the what reason? The right reason. The right reason. It should be a dynamic that is led in us through the Spirit and again, through what we see in the Word. But I don't believe that it is a forced thing. It is not a commandment. It is a voluntary act that we do. All right, Luke 5, 33 through 35. Well, who do we go to when we want to learn about this subject or any subject first? God's Word. But when we go into God's Word, who do we like to look at first? Well, I like to hear directly what God says, but I also like to hear what Jesus says. And since Jesus was God, it pays to understand what he has to say, right? So here it is. Jesus is dealing now again with the Pharisees. And he's talking also with his disciples. And as we know, they always had a lot of questions. But God has all the answers, right? Jesus has the answers. And so here it is in verse 33 of Luke 5. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often? Now, this is not the Apostle John they're talking about here. It's who? It's John the Baptist, okay? Why do they fast often? There that word's used. It says that they do it often. By the way, you cannot fast continually. Right? Yep. Let me just say this. We'll get into all this as we go, but this is a personal thing. You know, fasting is a private thing between you and God. And you'll find that that's very clear in the Scriptures. But they observed this. They said, why do they fast often and make prayers? And likewise, the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. In other words, Jesus' disciples here didn't do what? They didn't fast. Well, there's some reasons for that, folks. And I'll tell you what I think it is, folks. It has to do with our distance from the Lord. John the Baptist and his disciples sought to be closer to Jesus, but they were not in the same proximity with Jesus. So that thenceforth, they did it a little more often. They were desiring to draw closer to him. Folks, I believe that's what it all is about there. Our fasting is driven by our proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're close to him, if you're walking in tune with him, it's probably not something that's going to be as real to you and as relevant to you than it is when we're distant from him on a particular issue. Fair enough? Now, obviously, why did the Pharisees do it? Because they were really distant, but they wanted to look good. They had no desire to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every turn of the corner, they were there to what? To attack him. But they wanted to use that to look externally like they were closer to him. You can use fasting for the wrong motives. Now again, I don't want to get critical about this, but I can't tell you the people over the years that I've been fasting for this, Pastor John, for the subject. And you know what my response is to them? I'm very loving. I say, well, you know what the Scriptures really say, though? You're not supposed to share that. You don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And when you do that, you've what? You lost the value of it. But I believe it has to do with our distance. So Jesus goes on to teach there in 34, and it says, he said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? There was no need to fast because he was where? He was right in their midst. Folks, I think there's still a case to be made for that today. But the key thing here today is to not get so concerned with fasting, but to get concerned if Jesus is in your midst. And he's walking in reality in a relationship with you today. That's the best thing. But Jesus goes on there, he says in 35, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. Now, folks, we know that Jesus is present here this morning with us in spirit, isn't he? Because where two or more are gathered, there he is, and there I am among you. But know this, folks, we don't have the literal presence of him with us as those folks did in that day as disciples. And what Jesus says is that fasting should be endorsed in the day we live. It's a very acceptable and a very necessary thing to do at certain times. Because again, we are not able to have that type of fellowship that he and the disciples had necessarily because his physical presence is not with us. So therefore, that's one of the parameters. It certainly is endorsed in the day that we live. Amen? Okay, so that's your first one there. Doing it often is not wrong if there is a proper reason, such as distance from the Lord. It was legitimate in John the Baptist, maybe not in the Pharisees, but obviously cannot be accomplished without breaks. It's for a time. It's for critical issues. For critical issues. More on that later. Now turn in your scriptures back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, 16 through 18. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And again, what's that whole chapter about? Pretty much it's about a relationship with our Father, right? And to a great extent through prayer. I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you today, but you can look at verses like verse 6, where Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." And folks, I believe prayer is always coupled with fasting. And you can make a case in the Old Testament that even more than that was there, because it was also possibly a time of repentance. It was a time when the people were in sackcloth and in ashes, which symbolized mourning. I already covered that earlier, but it was a time when there was great things that were going on. Job is one of many examples that you can find in the Old Testament. It's a thing where we get alone with God, and we are operating in secret. Now let's go to 16 through 18. Jesus gives the particular teaching here on fasting. He says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites." Who's he referring to here? What is a hypocrite? One. Very good, Jaden. You got it right. They do the opposite. They say something or they practice something, but in their heart, they don't believe it, right? So Jesus says, when you do choose to do it, don't be a con artist. That's, again, why it's not something that you talk about with other people. You don't do it to share again. You know, and the other thing is, we'll get to it here in a minute, there is a place for spiritual leaders to call for it. You can make a case for that in Scripture. But we want to be very careful. This is a very private thing, okay? He says, don't do it for the wrong reasons, in other words. They do it with a sad countenance, like it's making them say to other people, what? I'm on a fast because I look like I'm hungry. Oh, I missed my meals today. It's an external thing that's conveying what they're doing, okay? That they may appear unto who to fast? Unto men. You know what, folks? God knows our number today. He knows exactly where I am today. He knows where you are. And I don't mean where we're located, even though he knows that too. But he knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. It's not the appearance. It's what's really going on inside. Truly or verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Oh, look at that. That Pharisee's fasting. His face is wrinkled because he's not eaten for X amount of days or whatever, okay? That's their reward, Jesus says. But you, or thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. What Jesus is saying here is when you prepare to fast, it's not a reckless thing. You put yourself in order. Now, I don't know. What did he say there? Wash your face and anoint your head. Probably not very few of us didn't come here this morning. You know, I've been wearing a stocking hat in that cold weather. I am scheduled for a haircut tomorrow. I know some of you say, where do they find it? But when I wear a stocking hat, all my hair that I have left sticks straight up. I go up to the light switch, snap. But let me tell you this morning, folks, and I would assume most everyone else did this in here as well, you washed your face before you came to church. Well, at least wiped it with a towel. And I admit, I put some hairspray on this morning, extra hold. Why did I do that? Because that's right, Autumn. You put yourself together. We live in a day when people just, they don't care about anything. Really, a lot don't.
No, it's true.
But we ought to put ourselves together before the Lord and recognize that we are here to bring glory to Him. That's our first reason to exist. It's not to get up to eat breakfast. It's not to have your wife cook you an omelet or you cook one for her. I did make breakfast in bed for Kim here a few weeks ago. Frozen pancakes, 3 strips of bacon, syrup, juice, and coffee. Well, you didn't like my coffee. Get yourself in order. This is not a reckless thing. Anoint your head and wash your face. Put yourself in order that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Prepare to meet God in prayer and fasting. Prepare that something big is going to come from that if you choose to do it. If you don't choose to do it that way, you might as well what? It's an exercise in futility if you go outside the parameters of what the Lord lays down. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When we appear before the Lord with the right intent of the heart, we'll see dynamic things happen because of it. And He rewards us openly. It's not about others. It's about Him and us and getting down to business. All right, third thing. Oh my, the clock goes fast. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. Acts 13, 2 through 3. I've got several here. I think they're on your sheet, aren't they? Yes, they are. Yeah. Oftentimes, fasting and prayer are done when we are seeking an answer. Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3. As they ministered, we want to back up here a little bit into verse 1. Now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. That's the Apostle Paul. What was going on at Antioch, folks? That was a church that was what? It was on fire for the Lord. Antioch was a church that was going to be used mightily of the Lord through missions, through foreign missions. And you noticed how the church went about that. This church was not just a nominal bunch of people that came together. This was a church that was spiritually engaged. Denny's been hitting at me with that word lately. Engaged. Are you engaged today? Some of you have driven a vehicle with a manual transmission that has a clutch. If you do not fully engage the clutch, you will be replacing the clutch. Because you'll go nowhere fast, and your clutch will wear out. What do you need to do when you drive a stick shift? You use the clutch when you shift the gears, but when you're done shifting, you let out the clutch. Let me just tell you this, an old farming technique too, or truck driving technique. If you're in a place of a hard pull with a tractor or with a truck or with your car, don't slip the clutch. Let it out and give it the fuel. It'll either make it or it won't, and you have to start over. But the worst thing you can do is slip the clutch. Folks, I believe today in our modern-day churches, for the most part, we're riding the clutch. What do you think? We're not engaged. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I look in the mirror. And I don't think we come close to what Antioch Church was like. Because I don't come close to the leaders in that church. Did you hear me?
Yes,
by the way, those that follow the leader end up in the same boat. We need to get engaged. We need to let the clutch out and let's see what God's going to do. All right, let's finish this point. We'll wrap it up for this morning. We have these men, prophets and teachers, it said, at Antioch Church. And noticed here, and they what? Ministered to the Lord. We learned this in real church. We're not consumers, we're producers. Thank you, Sandra. You listened, didn't you? God does not want us as consumers. He wants us to be involved with consuming, but using the consummation to do what? To make production. These people had it right, because see what they were doing there? That word ministered means served. They were engaged in more than superficial activities at the Church of Antioch. And notice who they were serving. It wasn't just the church thing where you have meals and you know all that. The things that the church does, but the things the church needs to be doing, they served who? Jesus, the Lord. And notice there it says they what? They fasted. And the Holy Ghost did what? He answered them. He answered them. And he says, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, there it is, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You know what, folks? We wouldn't have the New Testament. We wouldn't have this book that we're looking into today. I know Luke wrote it, but Paul did a lot of the what in it. The actions. The mission that Antioch Church had to reach the rest of the world, and how that took place in specifically in Paul's missionary journeys, but also some of the others, folks, that came about as a result of fasting and prayer where they were to go. Don't tell me this can't be dynamic. Amen? Well, I know we're out of time. I've already lied to you. We're 4 minutes over. So we'll come back another time. Is it okay if we finish this next week? Because there's quite a bit more we ought to know about this. Amen? Amen. Yep. So that means I'm going to go to the conclusion. And I'll probably use it again next week in an altered form. But here's the conclusion. And you'll find this as we go through this study. Done in the with the proper motives and perspectives. And there are others that are emphasized that we'll find even from what I got to this morning or even next morning. Fasting and prayer and all that accompanies it are appropriate, and they are necessary at critical junctures in our walk with God. Folks, we're going to find that out. Fasting is reserved for critical situations. That's where you'll find it in the Bible. And are powerful in drawing us closer and connecting us to God's power in our lives. Who wants that today? I encourage us all to study further on the Bible's examples and to use the benefits available in fasting and prayer. Where have we been lax? Where have we been lax in this help that is available to us? I'm going to venture out and speak for myself. I've been lax. You know, half of the time we don't use half of the resources that God gives us. Why? We're either too lazy to do it or we don't believe in the power of it. Maybe today, folks, let's see where I was at here. Where have we been lax in the help that is available to us? I believe many places. Maybe family members, spiritual conditions of our nation, our children, ourselves, and I've got here ad infinitum. You know what that means? The list could go on and on. We're messing around with all kinds of things, except we're not tuning into the power of God. So my prayer today is that the power of God would rest upon us. And when we finish this message, but already with what you've got and on your sheets, you'll know that prayer and fasting can have a dynamic influence on our closeness and proximity to the heart of God. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. It's also on the screen today. 61. You know, I'd like to ask us today, you'll see the title of that this morning. Let's stand if we're able, yeah. Could I ask you this morning, is Jesus the sweetest name you know? Maybe we need to level with ourselves today about that. You know, that's one of the benefits of prayer and fasting and all that go with that, is to get close to God. I wonder today if there's anyone in this room that could admit they're far away from God today. You don't have to show it publicly. You don't even have to come forward, but admit it to Him today. He's seeking a closer walk with you. I tell you, there might be people in this room today that they may take another step and they're going to wake up in hell. Maybe they were here, maybe they've heard, maybe they've been here over and over and over and heard it, but it's never rung true with them. What do you think about the name of Jesus today? Is it the sweetest name you know? And if you are here today in a vibrant walk with the Lord, why not even a better one? Amen? That's what I want. And it can be afforded to us if we'll draw closer to Him. The venue we talked about today is one of those. But today, let's understand this is a time and place in history that will never be here again. However this message has affected you today, there will be a result of that effect. I pray today that we'll be doing some introspection into our lives. And remember this, folks. No, we don't have to come forward, not even to be saved. But know this, there is a humility that comes with coming publicly to Jesus, saying, I need you. He's here to help us today. I'm here to help too, and there's others. If you're a spiritual person here, take time for one another. God may be dealing with a heart this day, but I ask you, is Jesus the sweetest name you know? Let's sing. There have been names that I... See, I always get pretty emotional when I think about that. No moment is not without its importance, and today is the day to get to know the name of Jesus. We'll dismiss you today with God's blessing. I'm going to ask Lonnie to dismiss us in prayer, but take time today. You have a question. I can't answer all questions, but I'm willing to try to help you, to connect you with a closer walk with Christ if you're struggling this day, because He has a good name, folks. It'll never be called bad by the believers. It's the name above all names. Bonnie?